We have Professor Catherine Lumby from the Department of Media, Music, Communication and Cultural Studies at Macquarie Uni on the phone. Thank you so much for joining me this morning, Catherine.
Yeah, what a pleasure. And can I categorically state to your listeners that I never played with Barbie. In fact, I never had a doll. So, you know,
you can do it. You can be a woman and not have a doll.
Now would be like, I told you so. There's something wrong with her. I actually, you know, my favourite toy when I was eight, I got, and this really carbon dates me, I got a plastic model of the Apollo landing unit when they came back down to Earth. I used to sit in that and think I'd like to be an astronaut. Sadly mistaken because I was bad at science. So no Barbies in my life.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, my favourite toy when I was a kid was a cardboard box car that my dad made me, and I'm a terrible driver. So, but no, never a doll in sight. So Anne Hathaway and Amy Schumer had previously been cast at the film, but they both dropped out. Now the more conventionally attractive Margot Robbie is playing the part. Is it significant that the film is veering away from the slightly more unconventional ideas of beauty that were previously promoting?
Well, look, the first thing I'd say about Margot Robbie is she's been fantastic in a lot of movies, and I just think because she's, you know, in sort of heterosexist terms, conventionally gorgeous, you know, we shouldn't therefore think she's dumb or whatever. I'm not suggesting you're saying that. But, I mean, I'd love to have seen Amy Schumer in that role because I love Amy Schumer. And I think that there was an opportunity to give it a kind of post-postmodern twist. But they've, you know, by casting Margot Robbie because she has that conventional attractiveness, I think they've missed that boat, sadly. Because I think there's an opportunity there to have a lot of fun with Barbie. And let's not forget that, and I know you know this, right, that Barbie was originally designed back in the late 40s based on a cartoon, a German cartoon of a sort of stripper stroke sex worker. So, wow. You know, but Barbie's got a really kind of interesting dark history. Well, not dark, but in a history that we could explore.
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't know that, actually. I'm not as familiar with Barbie's different history than I would like to be. So Barbies and other similar dolls are popular children's toys, but girls have been known to mutilate and decapitate their Barbies between the ages of 7 and 11. I was one of them. I took my sister's Barbie and did it. Why has a children's toy provoked such a violent response, I suppose?
Well, look, I just think kids do that. I've got two sons, and kids are weird. The only reason I had kids was because they're so entertaining. Like, they're just bizarre. They're weird people, right? And, I mean, and little girls are always, I mean, there's always been that sort of conformist thing that hangs over us. And I think that little girls rebel in all sorts of weird ways. I did weird things with my friends, and they included making Barbie and Ken do interesting things in the camper van. I mean, kids are curious about the adult world. So you give them a toy, even if it's a box, right, and they'll just do something counterintuitive with it. So I think that we've got to be really careful to say, well, if you give a girl a Barbie, she's going to turn herself into some, like, sex robot. That's actually not what happens. You know, little girls are just as creative as little boys, and they're just as subversive. But I do think that there's this sort of idealisation of Barbie. And I remember about 10 years ago or 15 years ago when Bratz dolls came on the scene. And they were noticeably ethnically diverse. And I did some media thing where the woman who actually looked a lot like Barbie on a TV show was interviewing me, and she said, oh, these Bratz dolls, you know, they're a bit trashy, aren't they? They're a bit trampy. And I said, do you mean that they're ethnically diverse, or do you mean they look more like real girls? I went, look at Barbie. She doesn't even have feet. She's got skirts up to here. You know, like, at what point did no one notice that Barbie is a highly sexualized doll, and Bratz dolls come on the scene and it's like, well, they look working class and a bit ghetto-ish or something. So there's a weird sort of amnesia about where Barbie came from and what, you know, there's a very sexualized component to Barbie.
And I suppose that amnesia, I mean, it's, you know, it's quite a that the idea of Barbie, that amnesia, you know, it, since it's been around from the 40s, it's just been in our history for so long. So I think people, you know, kind of do forget. There've been some pretty well-known cases of women surgically altering their bodies and faces to look like Barbie dolls. So it's not only children that seem to be affected by the body issues linked to childhood toys. Are there certain factors that might make one person more susceptible to wanting to radically transform their appearance in adult?
Well, I think a lot of people are susceptible to that. I'm really wary of going, oh, you know, young people are dupes or little girls are dupes or all of this. I mean, I think we live in an incredibly image-driven society, and I don't think that, you know, you can magically insulate yourself from that. I mean, I don't think having a PhD or doing a degree or reading feminist books insulates you. I guess my response that kind of culture, and this includes the Barbie thing, is to try and be a bit playful with it. I mean, I'm not into banning Barbie, for instance. I think it's ridiculous to say, well, let's just, you know, put all kids in a room full of grey toys and make them gender neutral. You know, like, because I actually have great faith in the inventiveness and subversiveness of children. But of course we need alternate stories about Barbie and princesses and all that crap out there. And I think that I haven't seen the movie, so I'll reserve judgment. But I think there's a missed opportunity to do something really subversive with Barbie, i.e. to copy what 6- and 7-year-old girls already do with her.
Well, does that mean we're waiting to see a Barbie decapitated movie? Because that might be on the cards after saying that. There she goes.
Grab it to a rocket, right? And Ken can be the guy who doesn't pass the astronaut exam. I'd love to see that one.
Do you think there's a similar, going to Ken, do you think there's a similar effect on boys as they grow up with dolls like Ken or G.I. Joe dolls?
Yeah, I guess there is that masculinity effect. I've got 2 teenage sons. One of them likes to wear a dress, so good for him. So he obviously hasn't been too affected by that. But he talks a lot about the sort of straitjacket of masculinity that you know, he feels surrounds him in culture, and he often says to me things like, "Mum, you know, it's weird because we talk about constraints on women, but I mean, at least you get to wear a skirt in summer when it's hot, and there's this uniform for boys of a certain age and for men." So yeah, I think we live in a really gendered society, and it starts really young. And you go into Toys R Us, and there's a wall of grey and camouflage green toys for boys and a wall of pink and purple for girls.
Mm.
And it's just kind of, I don't think it reflects where we're at in our culture now, because when I look at the friendship groups my 19 and 16-year-old sons are in, they're really diverse about gender and sexuality. They're really interesting, funny, playful people who don't take binary seriously.
That's excellent. That's it's optimistic to hear, really. On a more optimistic note, continuing that, Barbie seems to be trying to promote some more progressive values by releasing dolls of a wider variety in shapes and sizes. This is a step in the right direction, or do you think it's come a little too late?
Oh, look, you know, if kids are going to play with Barbies, and look, well, let's be real about the gender stuff, it's still going on. So if little girls are going to play with Barbie, I'd like to see a black Barbie and an Asian Barbie and a Barbie who's a doctor as well as a nurse. And yeah, sure. I mean, do I ultimately think that playing with Barbie is going to, you know, stand in the way of gender equality? No, I don't. I think we can get overwrought about things on the sideline. And that the real stuff is, what about globally? Can women and children get a clean drink of water? What about laws that restrict abortion or restrict human rights for women and children around the world? You know, they're the big picture things for me. I think eventually, you know, this kind of gender divide that happens in toys will, I'm an optimist, as you can hear, will melt away if we can change the big structural issues in the world.
Yeah,
that's a big job, though.
Yeah, of course.
Maybe Barbie's up to it. We could have Barbie human rights lawyer.
There you go. You heard it here first. It's one piece of a very big puzzle. Look, thank you so much, Catherine, for joining us on the show.
Always.